Intriguing Instructions for How to Run the Church. More on the Didache. Written by Bart Ehrman. Read by Ken Teutsch. In my previous post, I started to discuss one of the most important of the apostolic fathers, the Didache. I indicated there that it consists of three parts, the first of which is an ethical treatise on the two ways one can live. Now I continue with describing the even more unusual next two parts, a set of instructions about ritual activities and wandering apostles and prophets, and an apocalyptic prediction of what is yet to come. This description is principally taken from my book, The New Testament, A Historical Introduction to the Early Christian Writings. Like the teaching of the two ways, the second portion of the Didache may be drawn from one or more earlier sources, or it may represent the anonymous author's own composition. It is a kind of church order in which instructions are given for various kinds of church activities. For example, Christians are to perform their baptisms in cold running water, that is, in an outdoor stream, wherever possible, although standing or warm water is permissible when necessary. If none of these options is available, water is to be poured over a person's head three times in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Didache chapter 7. Christians are to fast twice a week, on Wednesdays and Fridays, 8:1. Not on Mondays and Thursdays, since that is when the hypocrites, presumably non-Christian Jews, see Matthew 6:16-18, do so. Nor are they to pray like the hypocrites, but they should repeat the Lord's Prayer three times a day, 8:2-3. When they celebrate the Eucharist, they are first to bless the cup with a prayer that the author provides, and then to bless the broken bread with another set prayer. This way of celebrating the Lord's Supper by starting with the cup and ending with the bread has long puzzled scholars, since the typical practice of the early Christians appears to be reflected in the New Testament accounts of the Last Supper, where Jesus distributes first the bread, then the cup. The Didache continues by giving extended instructions concerning what to do with the traveling apostles, teachers, and prophets who arrive in town to minister to the community, chapters 11-13. These three categories of persons appear to overlap. Evidently, problems had arisen because some itinerant Christians were scoundrels who had become traveling preachers solely for financial gain. For this reason, the author insists that visiting prophets not be allowed to have more than 2 days' room and board at the community's expense, and that they be considered false if they demand money while uttering a pronouncement from God. Moreover, any wandering prophets who disagree with the doctrines expressed in this document, or who fail to practice what they preach, are to be rejected as false. 11:1-2, 10. The Didache finally gives instructions concerning wandering prophets who decide to settle down within the community. True, prophets are to be treated with the highest honor and offered the first fruits of the community's wine, harvest, and livestock, as if they were its chief priests, 13:1-3. In addition, the Christian communities are to elect bishops and deacons from among their own ranks to run the affairs of the church, 15:1-2. The concluding chapter of the book provides a kind of apocalyptic discourse, an exhortation to be ready for the imminent end of the world that will be brought by the Lord coming on the clouds of heaven, 16:7. Given its loose connection with what precedes it, this chapter may have been tacked on to the Didache at a later date. What is the date of the earlier portion of the book, chapters 1-15? Scholars have debated the issue for as long as they have known of the document's existence. Part of the dispute centers around the question of the book's unity, that is, whether or not its different parts derived from different times and places and were combined by someone living later. Recent scholarship tends to think that the book was produced by a single author on the basis of earlier sources at his disposal. Its final production may date to around 100 CE. One reason for choosing some such date is that the document appears to presuppose Christian communities that are not yet highly structured, unlike the proto-Orthodox communities that we know about from later in the second century. Moreover, the author knows a wide range of earlier Christian traditions, such as those embodied in the Sermon on the Mount, and it appears that his community, somewhat like Matthew's, held views that were widespread in Judaism, even though it rejected Judaism as it was currently practiced. Thus the references to the hypocrites. It appears, then, that the document dates from a time when the variety of Christian traditions, possibly even Matthew itself, were in circulation. That is, sometime after the middle third of the first century. Yet it was apparently produced before the mid-second century, when the proto-Orthodox churches had developed their rigid form of structure. As for the inner life of the congregations that the author addresses, it appears that they are in the process of developing a strict ethical code, or at least that he hopes they are, and establishing the most important early Christian sacraments and ceremonial practices: baptism, Eucharist, set prayers, and days of fasting. They are also experiencing both the benefits and the problems of wandering Christian authorities, some of whom provide useful guidance for the communities while others actively exploit them. In our discussion of the pastoral epistles, we saw how charismatic communities like these ended up solving their problems by establishing clerical hierarchies, creedal statements, and canonical authorities. In many ways, the communities of the Didache are moving in this direction themselves, as is evident in the appointment of local bishops and deacons, the insistence on conformity to certain views, and the devotion to certain recognized traditions, such as those that, at an earlier stage, had come to be incorporated into the Sermon on the Mount.